You're a mess. Love you.
That's the worst kiss I've ever gotten from her, but...
That's the what? Sorry. What did he say? Well, we can work on that if you need me to. I'm so grateful you're here this morning. I believe that we're going to just enjoy each other's fellowship today. And today I'm going to talk to you about that you are worth the wait, okay? And while I'm sharing that, I just want to share a couple of stories with you about waiting. When I would pick up the kids from school, I would always try to be there like before school let out. You know, I wanted to get the primo parking spot, right? So my kid didn't have to go as far, especially if it rained. Like, I would go 40 minutes early. You two, it's, I mean, you know, like, we just, do, oh, no, okay. Gally gonna learn now. But I would do that, and I remember one day I was waiting, and Jake was had all these friends around him, and I thought, well, that's so nice. I'll just be patient because he's just having fun with his friends. And he comes over to the van, and he's like, roll the window down, you know. So I roll the window down. He comes up there and goes, Mom, go ahead and tell him. I said, tell him what? He goes, tell him. And the guy goes, he looks at me, and I knew Jake. And I said, he said, go ahead. And I said, my name is Gay. And Jay goes, Mom, you just cost me $5. Because he just wanted me to say, hi, I'm Gay. Well, I didn't do it. So he got in the van, and, you know, so it was, we had a long wait ride home when I had to explain to him, son, that, you know, no, no. And there was another mother and her daughter who were at the mall, and her daughter had come to visit her because she lived away, and they'd gone to the mall, and they were standing in line getting something to eat. One of the mom's friends came up. She said, oh, I hadn't seen your daughter in so long. It's so good to see her. How old is she now? And she said, well, she's 24. So when the lady walked off, her daughter's in shock. She goes, Mom, I'm 37. And she goes, well, it just dawned on me that I've been lying about my age, and now I'm going to have to lie about yours too. So, you know, when you're waiting, sometimes you can get in trouble, right? But today we're going to talk about waiting on the Lord. And so what I'd like for you to do is tell me, is there anybody in this room who's been waiting more than 10 years for the Lord to answer a prayer? Anybody? Stand up. If you've been waiting more than 10 years for the Lord to answer a prayer, stand up. Okay. If you've been waiting for the Lord to answer a prayer more than 5 years, stand up. Ah, you're just rookies. All right. How about more than 1 year you've been waiting for the Lord to do something? Okay, more. All right. How about you've been waiting a week for the Lord to do something? Stand up. Okay. All right, you've been waiting more than a day for the Lord to do something. Stand up. Okay, now I just want to say, those of you who are sitting down, we're going to be praying later because every one of us are waiting on the Lord to do something in our lives, okay? But you may be seated. The point is, some of us have waited longer than others, but how many of you, by show of hands, would say, I've waited a long time, but I saw the answer to my prayer. Would you lift your hand? Yeah, just kind of wave it so everybody knows there's more than one of us. Yeah, so here's the thing. I'd like for you to turn in your pew Bible, if you would, or if you have your own Bible, I'd like for you to turn to page 725. And we're going to be on Luke chapter 2. And we're going to first look at verses 22 through 35. Luke chapter 2, page 725, if you have a pew Bible. And we're going to start with verse 22. Now, here's the scenario. Jesus has been born. He's already been circumcised. And it's the custom for them to come in on the 40th day for him to go to the temple and for his parents to put up an offering, which we're going to read about. So let's start there. When the time of purification, that's the 40 days, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. It was optional because it depended on your income. I want you to know God's never going to ask you to do more than you're capable of doing. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now what had happened, you remember, Herod's like already killed all the firstborn kids because he's heard about a new king being born of the Jews, and he wants to make sure he's going to be the big cheese. So he's already killed all these. Not only that, but there's an oppression of the people. Yeah, this is after, you know, the time of Moses. But guys, we can go back into oppression if we don't stand up for what we believe in. So he comes in, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts where the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. And Simeon, he just took him in his arms and he praised God. Now, I want you to know, all scholars believe Simeon was like 114 years old. Okay? So I would say that out of everybody here, he had probably been waiting the longest for his promise. Okay? But he's still in tune with the Holy Spirit. He still knows the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so when he sees this child, man, he just takes him into his arms. And he said, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." In other words, I can die in peace. I got this. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which for which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel." And the child's father and mother marveled at what he said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Hey, I think that every mother in here can relate to the fact that when someone hurts your child, your soul is pierced also. And there are sorrows that go with that. But they were amazed. Why? Because here is another confirmation that this is the Son of God. Can we be honest? Have you ever heard from the Lord and you like got a revelation or something, and then somebody else comes in and they say something like it, and you're like, "Oh!" And you knew it, you already knew it, but when they say it, it's like, "Wow, okay, yeah." So they'd already had, you know, the angels, the shepherds, it already had these holy visitations. At this point, the wise men had not come yet. But here they are, and now here's another, "Wow, the Spirit has led me, and I know." I want to tell you today, one thing I believe that's going to happen in this service for men and women and children alike, I want you to understand that you are anointed, that the Holy Spirit speaks to you and through you, and that you are going to hear Him today. And that Spirit is going to come alive in you. Amen. So Simeon, 114 years old, he got a promise from God, but he believed it. How do I know he believed it? Because he acted on what he believed. And so will you and I. He had an urging from the Spirit, and he followed the urging. You know that thing that says, you know, when you're going in a store, it's like, "Don't park here, park over there." Or like when you're, you know, you go home and you hear, "Why don't you go ahead and put that out tonight too? One of the kids may need it." Or one of you guys, you're just driving and you just think, "Don't go this way, let's go that way." You know what I'm talking about? Those urgings of the Spirit. And how many times later we go, "Wow, okay, I can hear God." He could hear God too. But the thing was, he followed the urging. Simeon followed the urge to go to the temple. He's been waiting, and he's been waiting 114 years. And when he had the urge, he didn't know he was going to get the answer. I want to encourage you. Some of you are getting urges, and we just say, it's not important. But he's urging you because you never know when you're going to meet the answer to your promise. And like Simeon, you may get the promise and it not look like what you thought it was going to look like. Okay? But you're going to know that's the Lord. He could have been, you know, a part. He could have said, well, you know, I've already done my part. But he chose not to go with what he knew, but with what the Spirit was saying for him. Simeon made a conscious, on-purpose, feet-to-it decision to wait on God. It wasn't what he thought. Here's a baby. He was wanting a conqueror, just like the disciples, you know. Hey, here's the big deal. We're going to go in here and we're going to take this city by force. We're going to get out from under this oppression. Here's two teenage parents, and we know at this time, let's say Mary was between 15 and 16, right? So we know that they're young. We know that they've come from Nazareth of Galilee all the way to Jerusalem, which would probably be like going from the projects in the Bronx to Upper Manhattan, okay? Now, I'm not going to say from Haltom City to South Lake, because I want to tell you, I want that attitude of Haltom City to get out of you and me, because God is going to do great things in this city. If you are smart, you will invest in this city while the properties are low. Because I can tell you right now, the value of the homes 3 years ago have doubled in this city. And they're still cheaper than they are north of 820. So just saying, that's my commercial. So Mary, she comes in. Can you imagine? You're standing there with this 40-day-old baby. Like, you know, he's Jesus, okay? So, like, I don't know what powers he had at that point because he's a human. But I do know that he was not able to sit up at 40 days. He didn't have the strength in that neck and backbone. So I'm standing there with my 40-day-old baby, and a 114-year-old man comes after me and scoops up the baby and starts prophesying. So everybody, something unusual is happening to everybody. I think God wants something unusual to happen to us so we get out of our comfort zones and we rely on Him and not on us. Because too many of us are on autopilot. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to do it. Oh, I don't want to be uncomfortable and do that. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes when God has an answer, it's uncomfortable and it doesn't look like what you think it should. So let's continue reading. So in we're going to move to verse 36. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Now, what is it? I'm not old. Let's keep going. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. So let's just say, you know, Mary was like 14. So let's just give her the benefit of 15. Okay, now I think Jewish men married them young so they could train them right. I'm just saying men, that should have been an amen right there, but all I'm saying. So she married him, let's say at 15, and she'd been married 7 years, would have put her at 22. And then the scripture tells us, and after that, she was a widow for 84 years. When it says until she was 84, for those of you who have a pew Bible, there's a little tiny letter there, and that's a footnote. And if you go to the bottom of the page, that's going to explain to you that she was a widow for 84 years. So roughly, she's 106, okay? So she never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment while this is all happening, while Mary's like, wow. While, you know, Simeon is holding this baby up and blessing the Lord because he's received his promise, she gave thanks to God and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And when Mary and Joseph had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So here they are. Simeon had made a decision to wait. But here's Anna, and she's been disciplined to wait. She didn't have Simeon's promise, but because she was aligned in the temple, when she was ready for where the presence of God happens, where the things of God were working, She got the same benefit that Simeon did. And I want to tell you, when you stand with other believers, when they're believing God for a promise, and you share in that, whether by prayer or whether you share in that by a word of encouragement or just a hand beside, you're going to receive the same benefit of promise and fulfillment and joy as the one you're praying for. So here's Anna. Man, Jonas Salk, you know, who discovered the polio vaccine, he made this comment. He said, "The reward for your work well done is the opportunity to do more." And boy, did Anna ever get that. So she's coming in, and now she's not just going to worship the Lord. She's not just doing her duty to be in the temple, because she's using her sorrow. That's what drove her there. Now, instead of having a husband, her purpose is her husband is the Lord, as you'll see in Isaiah 54. But she comes in and she's fasting and she's praying and she's worshiping the Lord. And man, now she's going to have the opportunity to do more and do it better, because she's not just saying something off the written page, off the scrolls that I heard the rabbi tell this, because women weren't allowed in for those points. The men were taught. But she now knows by experience, because she and Simeon, their eyes have seen what the Lord has promised. Waiting, 114 years, 106 years, waiting for something that was promised or maybe wasn't even promised. But God is still answering. My prayer for you today, for me and for all of us, is that our eyes are going to see the promises that God has made to us. And I want every one of you to know, you may be looking at the wall, and it may be big, and it may be thick between you and what you believe God has promised. But I want to tell you, there's a view that heaven has that I don't have. And that view sees the thing that was this wide is now eggshell thin in the name of Jesus, because your prayers and your faith have continually moved that wall and said no to the doubt, no to the fear, no to the disappointment. And so what you thought was so thick, don't give up, because you're only seeing the solid thing. You're not seeing how wide it is and that it's about ready to fall. Can anybody get in agreement with that word today? Did you ever get in such a hurry, though, that you made a mistake? You know, did you ever just, you know, we're in a hurry, we got to get out, something's got to happen. I'm going to confess, Ed, please don't, you know, get mad at me, but he already knew what happened, so I'm going to back up and tell you how it happened. So I got this faucet on the front of my house. Ken, you know this horrible faucet I have, and it's got like half a handle. Well, that's because when we first moved into the house, I was going to do some yard work, and so I wanted to loosen up the soil with some water. Well, I could not get that thing to turn off all the way. It just kept dripping, dripping, dripping. And I just squeezed and turned and squeezed and turned. So I just thought, you know what? Girl can do this. I'm going to go get me a big old pair of pliers. So I went and got me some pliers, and I'm like, and half of the handle came off. And I was like, ooh, that's not good. So I thought, I'm going to get me some needle nose pliers, and I'll get in between those little things, and I'll still make it go off. Well, it wouldn't go off, and more of the handle broke off. So now it like hurts your hand, you need a potholder. I'm sorry, Ken. I'm sorry, Ed. So now you need a potholder or something to do it. But it still wouldn't turn off. Well, I want you to know I was determined. So I went and got that little gripper thing you use on the jars to make it, and I was like, and I put both my hands like that. I was like, and all of a sudden, the pole pipe bent, and I went, oh, I don't know my own strength. But I got in a hurry. I was determined. I was going to make it happen. Can you relate to this in the spirit? And then somebody else comes along to help you, and they're like, well, there's only half a handle on there. You're like, really? Well, it's still dripping, and the pipe's bent. Well, there you go. And it's because sometimes we get in such a hurry. We don't want to wait. And we want it to be, I can do this. Look, I can fix this. I remember that one time we were in California, and I was working in an office, and it was a Christian, and it was a church, and I was a new girl, and looking back, I was young, and I just, you know, I like to organize. And I'd come in, I'd reorganize this office. Well, two women that were working in there didn't appreciate my organization. And I didn't organize their area, I just organized mine. But they had their jobs. Some of you are smiling because you're relating to this. They had their jobs and I had mine, but I completely cleaned out the front. And I was like, we got a lot of knickknacks, a lot of clutter up here. Let's get all this stuff cleaned out. So if it's your knickknack, if it's yours, I want you to take it and put it in your office and, you know, just going to do a little, going to put up some new pictures and some new plants. So I'm going in there. Well, I didn't know it made them mad. So, and this was before all our modern technology. So I go in, and it's up to, they're supposed to get the mailer out. And we have a church of about 800. They're supposed to get the mailer out that day. And they go, oh, you know what? We're going to take a day off today because we've just, you know, we have this day scheduled and blah, blah. And I'm just standing there. So I'm like, what are you going to do? But I knew that mailer needed to get out. And I got in there with that manual. And I opened that, and I thought, you know, they're just trying to show me who's who. And I was like, God, I just want you to help me. Because I don't want it to be my fault. They wanted it to come back on me. And I was like, God, I don't want this to be my fault. I'm just, give me the wisdom. I'd never worked with one of these. And if you've ever worked with one of those things where you had to burn a stencil and then duplicate, and you had to put this fluid in there, and it got black ink everywhere. Yeah, and this big roller, and you had to do these out. And then we had this machine that went, and it like fold them. And then you had to put it on. And I got like, you know, really, it's like a 900-piece mailer. And I'm like, dear Lord. And they dropped this on me at about 11 in the morning. So I got the manual out. Everything was ready because that was my job to do the, get the paper ready. So I had it ready and I went in there and I was just like, I can do this. And I burned that thing. I was like, okay, I can do this. I went through the whole thing. I got it all ready. I don't remember what time I stayed, but it was real late. Steve had to put the kids to bed. Got everything done. Took the mailer to the post office in the morning. The girls came in. They're like, okay, well, you know, the mailer's going to be late. And I was like, no, no, the mailer won't be late. I took it to the post office this morning. And they're like, and I'm like, you know, girls, and I was crying. I said, I get it. But we're here to do a job, and I want to do the job well. And so I want you to know, we need to be a team. Whatever it is that I've done, I'm sorry for it. But next time, I need a little more notice that you're going to take the day off. And after that, we all just became great friends, and it was over. But sometimes when we're waiting, sometimes somebody wants to step in and steal your joy. They want to step in and put you in your place. They make you want to have fear or doubt about how you're going to look. And I want to tell you, it was not how I looked. It was the fact that all the people in that church were going to suffer because somebody was mad at me. And I wanted that to get out. So whenever your goal and your purpose is for the higher good of others, I believe God's going to help you. So here's Simeon, here's Anna. She wants to tell people now about how great God is and what God's done for her. So let's turn over now, and I'd like for you to look with me. We're going to turn back in your pew Bible to page 190. And that's going to be 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 18. I am enjoying you watching you wrestle those pages. Because I want you to know where things are in the Bible. Because I want you to go back and refer to these stories and read it. Because there's a revelation you're going to get out of this that I don't have. But you have it because you have the anointing. So we're going to read out of 1 Samuel 1, verses 9 through 18. And let me just sort of set this up for you. Here's what's happened. There's a man, and he has two wives. Peninnah, his name's Elkanah. He has Peninnah and he has Hannah, or his two wives. Well, Peninnah, she just putting them kids out, okay? And Hannah is barren. And so every year, Elkanah wants to go to Shiloh to worship the Lord and pay homage to him for what he's done. And they have these certain foods that they give him and, you know, that they celebrate with. Well, Hannah was just so distressed, she wouldn't even eat. And Elkanah's like, you know, girl, you got me. What do you want a kid for? You know, look, and that's in the Bible. But let's start it up at verse, we'll go to 12. So here she comes into the temple, and she's so distressed that when she goes to the temple, remember, she hadn't eaten, and she goes in, and she is just praying out of hurt. And as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli, who was the priest, observed her mouth. And Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk. And he said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "No, not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Now, let me just tell you, this may help you, I don't know. But sometimes when you pray, do you lose focus? Like you go in there and you're, "Oh, I'm going to," and then you just like, your mind starts drifting. I just want to encourage you. You know, it says her mouth was moving. If you just keep your mouth moving. "Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Lord. Yes, God. I'm listening. I'm waiting. Oh, thank you, Lord." And if you'll just keep that mouth engaged with praise, your mind won't wander. So here she is, and she tells him that. And Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the Lord God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him." And she said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. I want to tell you something. When you get a word from the Lord, you're not downcast anymore. When he speaks to your heart in response to your grief, guys, he wants your grief, he wants your doubt, just as much as your positivity and your faith. Because everything you give to him is a gift, and everything you give to him, he responds to. And early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. And Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." So here's what happened. She's going in, and she has a son, but she's not wanting to keep him for herself. She says, "If you'll give him to me, I'll dedicate him back to you, Lord." And if you continue reading, you're going to see that Samuel grew up to be the one who talked with Saul, he talked with David. He had great experiences. But every one of us, are you alive in here today? Just checking. Room check. Every one of us today that are alive were conceived because God said, "Let them be." Every one of us today had the touch of God on you that you would be born and that you would be alive today for this message. Whatever you've been waiting for, however long it's been, no matter how much the fear or the doubt has come in, you're here today for whatever reason, because God wants to speak life into your life, and he wants to bring an answer to your promises. So man, Hannah waited, but she was waiting in desperation. So if you will, turn back with me to page 723. We're going to move back a little bit from where we were at Luke 2 to Luke 1. And we're going to study here. These are just four vignettes I want to give you of people who were waiting on the Lord. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 20. Once when Zechariah, it was his division, was on duty. He's a priest. And he was serving as a priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go to the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now, for those of you who were here the last time I spoke, you know that when you burned incense, you only used the fire of God. You didn't use what you had. There's a whole nother message in that, but he used God's fire. So he goes in, and when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. The right always represents authority. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Here's a word of encouragement for all of you who pray, and when something happens, the first thing you do is get scared. So was the priest. And he said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his faith, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in her years." Now, he didn't say, "That can't happen." He just said, "How can it?" Okay? I want you to understand this. God knows that you're going to have questions, and God's not going to refuse to answer you when you have a question. But the point is, it would be better if we didn't question him, if we just said, "Yes, Lord," as Mary did, "Let it be unto me as you've said." So here's what happens. The angel answered and said, "I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Just because you don't know how or when something's going to happen, you need to believe God to the core of your being and keep watering that thing and saying, "God, I believe. God, I believe. Lord, this will happen." Am I alone in this house today for standing in with God and praying those kind of prayers? Listen, I want to tell you something. I want to pray, yes, because I've made a decision that the Holy Spirit's urging that this can happen. Yes, I want to pray and wait on the Lord because I want to be disciplined to be doing things for Him while I'm waiting, because He's doing things for me while I'm waiting that I don't even know about. And yes, I'm desperate. There's some things I'm saying to the Lord. How long? How long? How long are we going to have to wait to see these things, God? But He knows that I'm not saying how long because I doubt Him. He knows I'm saying how long because I'm saying, "Help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief." Guys, that's the word. That's a scripture. If you know these scriptures, that should encourage your heart. There's not one person in this Bible, other than the teachings on Jesus, the teachings about God and the Holy Spirit, who didn't fail. Not one. And the provision for those weaknesses and those failures has been made for us, not so we can sin, but so we can overcome the sin. So here he goes, and he says to him, "Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he couldn't speak to them, and they realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but he remained unable to speak." You know how they go like, you know, like, "Angel," you know. They got it. They knew then he couldn't speak because he had been in the presence of the Lord. And so when his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he's shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Listen, in every one of these cases, somebody had to have a word from the Lord. I don't know the distance on what the time frame was. I don't know where their faith level was. But all I know is this. When he says this is going to happen, it is conceived with your faith and it brings forth life through your spirit if you believe. So the victory is worth the wait. So here's something a little more relevant. We're going to have a personal testimony today. And I've asked Renee Medford if she'd come because, you know, we hear about the Bible. We hear, if you'll come on, Renee, we hear about the Bible. We hear about what, you know, what happened to these people in the Bible. But, you know, today I'm just needing a little something extra. Well, I've asked Renee to share with you a testimony of what's happened in her life.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm a little nervous.
No need.
But I know what God has done in my life.
We got you.
I've sat and I pondered all week long what to tell y'all, how to say it. But my kids know. Stephen Gay know. Monty knows. April 16th, 2018, he was healed. And I can't tell you what a victory it's been for all of our children and in our lives. I've prayed and I want to say that it was what I did. But in the end, it's what God's done in His Son that went to the cross for our families, for our place here, to worship so freely. And I'm just so thankful today that I can stand up here. As of April 16th, I believe my son Jacob Medford called Steve on Saturday night, and I wasn't aware of that until this week, hoping and praying with us as he went through his own time mm-hmm. of pain. And I believe he's here today, and my children are all here today because they know that God is real.
That's right.
And they know that if we just praise him and lift our hands and worship him, I've said time and time again, children, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. When I watched Lacey and I watched Cassie go to the room to have their babies, and the doctors tell me
they're going to die. That
she may die. I know that there's victory. When they told me that my daughter had cancer and she's healed, and I just want y'all to know that God is real. Mm. And I'm so thankful for this house that we can worship in. And I've been waiting for 10 years. Now you have to pray for Monty's knee, but his back is healed.
So let me ask you something, Renee. When you say he was healed on April 16th, what was he going through?
Just constant pain. When we came in this room on Sunday morning, I didn't think we were fighting because he didn't want to come because he was in so much pain. And literally, I didn't even know that Jacob had called Steve because I was trying to orchestrate God's miracle for myself.
And how did you want that to happen?
I wanted
what
to call.
What was in your mind?
I wanted to call Steve because Monty said, hey, I think I'm going to get the elders of the church and call Steve and have him anoint with oil. So I got everybody ready. I got Monty in place. Got him some help so we could leave the restaurant. And when we got here, it was just a whole different story.
Okay. So mm-hmm. what happened that day?
On the day that I got it all together?
Yep.
God had different plans. He told me, get out of the way, Renee.
But are you disappointed because it's
not no.
happening? Like, you know, like you thought, okay, we're going to go in there. This is going to happen. When things weren't happening, are you, like, okay with that? Or are you, like, what's going on here?
Well, I just kept praising him.
Okay.
I just kept praising him, and I said, and then the day that Monty said, sat down whenever Steve called him over, and he said, I'm out of pain. And it's just that way the door opens, you know, it just, that's it. I mean, you like he said, whenever he was hitchhiking, I caught that one message. And he said, I was hitchhiking, and all I could think about was that drink of water and something to eat, and it was so hot. And when I finally got that drink of water, it was like it was all over. Everything that I was worried about and everything that I was worrying that was not happening, and when it happened,
it just washes it
away.
So Monty came to church, and that was the Sunday that, this isn't about Steve, it's about the urging of the Holy Spirit to call someone to say something. Any one of you in this room could have walked over to Monty Medford and said, Monty, today the Lord says you're going to be healed. But the problem we have is that we're so worried about, will God do it?
Will it happen? Yeah, and I remember Steve saying, Monty, get up, you're healed. And I remember just the peace and I know that it was happening then. You know, and it's just us getting up and standing and believing that and saying it out loud that God will do it. He is doing it, and he's doing it in this place right now.
So Monty had how many back surgeries?
One back surgery. He went, actually, our customer sent him. We make too much to get, you know, insurance, or not insurance, but help. And so our customer sent us to California about 6 years ago, and I thought that was going to be the answer to prayer. Yeah. And when we got back, it only ended up being 6 more years of torture.
So now that he's healed, he's still working at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. He's still walking on concrete every day, and he's pain-free. And you got what you were waiting for.
I got what I was waiting on.
Amen. To God be the glory, girl. Nobody can take that from you. Nobody. But here's the beauty of it. If you've ever been to Dixie House where they work and run that cafe, all I can tell you is I know that woman is a missionary to everybody that walks in there. And I want you to know something. There are days when you're going to be discouraged. Her husband's walking the floor in pain. He's already on medication. He's had the surgeries. He's like, you know what? Where's God? Don't say, you know, don't be ashamed of that, because we all say those things. But listen, God is still working while we're waiting when we believe. So it doesn't matter if it was because you had a Holy Spirit urging. She had a Holy Spirit urging, but it wasn't how she thought, right? There's a discipline that, you know what, I want my kids to see the glory and the move of God. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep praying. You know, some of us, I'll tell you, Bernice and I, Steve's mom, you know, there are times Steve calls it a hunger strike, you know, because I'll be like, I'm going to fast. He's like, no, you're having a hunger strike. But listen, there's, you know, that prayer that says these things only come by prayer and fasting. And sometimes I need to get over me to get to Jesus. So I move into that. Some of you do that. Listen, if you're desperate today, it's okay to be desperate. As long as you're waiting for God, there's no shame in going to God and saying, God, I'm desperate. I believe you've promised this to me. I believe you've said this is going to happen. Because he's still listening to you. And then there's Zechariah. And Zechariah was just doing his duty. He's just going along with what's happening. And we don't even know if he's talking out loud or in his mind to the Lord, but the Lord hears him and he answers him and he delivers him. And when God did something, it wasn't just for those families and those people. It was for everybody around them. There's someone today in this room, and you really need to know that. You need to know that God is going to work on your behalf and that God is going to help you. Renee, just like Simeon, she didn't like what she saw. She was probably frustrated. Do you know God doesn't mind your frustration as long as it's honest and with Him, right? And like Hannah, sure, we're going to get frustrated, but we must decide out of a conscious choice like Simeon that we're going to believe, and I'm going to put feet to what I believe. In all these instances, there was a common denominator. Anybody know what it was? It was that they went to the temple and they went to church. And that's why I have a message for you today. Listen, I know some of you were offered brunch and didn't go. I know some of you were offered breakfast in bed and you didn't go. And I'm not here to talk about people who didn't come to church. I'm here to tell you the ones who did come to church, God is going to honor you because you made the choice to honor Him before you were honored. And I truly believe this with all my heart. When you believe, the anointing is released that has been held hostage by doubt, disappointment and fear. I believe, when you believe, that anointing is what you need to release you from those places of fear and doubt. I believe there are people in here who are anointed and they've been told they couldn't speak in tongues because it's too late for them, because they're too old, for whatever reason. But if that's your heart's desire, I believe you're going to be filled with the Spirit to speak in tongues and there's going to be no shame in it. And I believe it's going to come in a personal and a private way between you and God. And you don't have to wait for somebody to lead you through it. You just need to get alone and trust God, and He's going to do it. There's a scripture that I want to share with you, and it's out of Habakkuk 2. If you'll go to that last slide, or the next to the last slide. And this is out of Habakkuk 2:3. If you know it in the King James, it says to tarry, and then it's going to say at the end in King James, so he still tarries. I want to read it to you. Steve vetted or looked this up and understood it for me, what it means. For the God-given future vision is still for the appointed place and time. It aches for completion. and it will not lie, deceive, disappoint, or fail. Impossible situations may cause it to be delayed, but wait for it, crave it, desire it, expect it, for it will, without doubt, come to pass, and it will not be stopped or delayed. This is on the back of your program. If you're saying, you know, you didn't give me a page reference on this, I'm not going to spoon feed you on that. It's on the back of your program on your notes for you. But here it is in the Passion Translation. I want to read that same verse. This vision message, you got to believe it and be able to see it with your spirit before you do with your eyes. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. That's what tarry means. I'm aching for this. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It'll come right on time. And I like where Steve said that second tarry means there's nothing that can stop it and there's nothing that can delay it. And I'm here to tell you today that if you believe the government can delay what God has for you, you bought a lie. If you believe that some family member's delaying what God's promised for you, you bought a lie. If you believe today that there's something you failed at in your finances or in your service to God and that's keeping you from Him, you're believing a lie, because not the government, not my friends, not my family, and not my failures are bigger than the power of God. You've got to believe this. I cannot go inside of you and believe it for you. But while we're out in the waiting room, moms, while we're inside giving birth, other people are in the waiting room waiting on this great news. And I want to tell you today, whether you're man, woman, or child, God is in the waiting room right now. He's in the birthing room with you. You and I are in the waiting room. We're in the temple. We're in the waiting room saying, God, I know you're going to do what you've said. I could go through here and point some of you out. I could tell you, Jana, your mother's heart was broken and shattered a year ago. Look what God has done. Because somebody said, I don't understand it. I'm getting weary, but I'm still going to keep believing. Galatians 6:9, guys, it's on that program for you. He's going to answer you if you just won't faint, if you just won't give up, if you make the conscious, on purpose, put your feet to it choice to say, God, I believe who you are, and I believe what you say, and I believe I'm going to have what you say. And Lord, I can't carry this burden anymore. I'm feeling like it's my responsibility, my efforts, my work. Who's ever feeding you that? There are people who live in fear and doubt, and you need to get out. You need to move in and close in with the Holy Spirit and let Him speak to you and urge you. Maybe there's something you're holding on to that the Holy Spirit wants to say, you need to let that go. May not make sense to you, but you need to let it go. I can't, you know, this isn't about me. I just want you to hear what God can do. But there are times in our life where we have had to say to each other, there's no way. We don't see a way. God, we trust you. God, we're putting our faith in you. God, we need help. And the minute we relinquished control of that, God took over. And sometimes it was immediate and the phone would ring or, you know, whatever happened. Sometimes it took a couple of days, but I want to tell you what happened in that waiting time. I learned who was in control, and I learned who had the power. And when He says His burden is easy and His yoke is light, that burden came off of me from having to make it happen, having to make people change, having to make situations change. And whatever you're in this room for today saying, how long? He's still going to answer you. But just be sure you're praying to God. Because when you are in places of fear and doubt and disappointment, I want to tell you something. That's where the enemy is. And I don't want you to be in that place. Only God has sufficient energy, time, and wisdom to handle everything. So I want to read what I started out with today by telling you. I've told you why God's worth it. And now I want to tell you that He says you're worth it. And this is out of Psalm 27:14 in the Passion. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Psalm 27:14. You're going to need to write it down because you're going to need it. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. be intertwined as one with the Lord. You need to get intimate with Him. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for He will never disappoint you. And I want to tell you, I have watched my own mother pray prayers and believe God. And there were things that my mother believed God had promised her that she didn't see. But it was because my mother was looking for something to happen one way. And she kept praying, oh, she just wanted my dad to go to church with her so bad, because my mother believed that going to church was equated with salvation. It was the way she was raised. And on that point, let me not lose you and say this. I don't believe that going to church is salvation. I believe you can be a sinner and come in here and just go out and do what you want as much as anybody else. But I believe that coming to church will keep you from sin, and it will feed you with the fullness. It will feed you with the Word. It will speak to what you've already been through or what you're going through, because we can't always hear from God for ourselves. And it's not just that I need it and you need it, but we need each other. Because there's times when I can share these testimonies, like Renee's, when Revelation 8 says it's not just by the blood of the Lamb, but what, church? Word of our testimony, that we're going to be encouraged. June, there's people today that you need to be praying for that need to be healed, because you believe it. You're unashamed. You've seen it in your own life. There's some of you today who've had a horrible marriage, but God answered your cries because you looked to God and not the world to solve it. And you need to speak that life into other people. Are we waiting and weary? Do we have more frustration than expectation? Have you confused your disappointment with disappointment in God? I want to share this little thought with you. The devil is doing all that he can to get you disappointed, discouraged, and believe that he won't answer you because God's taken too long. That's his job. That's his mission. So when that happens, whose influence are you listening to? But I want to tell you something. The devil never comes to the front door. He always goes to the back door. And he stands at the back door, because you don't guard your back door as much as you do your front. And he stands at the back door and he whispers, I'm going to have it. You're going to lose it. This won't happen for you. And when you go to the front door, because God doesn't need to go to the back door. When you go to the front door and you say, God, I need you in here. My word says that he stands at the door and knocks. And if anybody will answer that door, he will come in and commune with you. And I want to tell you, when he opens the front door, the force of the wind of the Spirit goes through that house and the back door slams shut. And the devil cannot enter the presence of the Lord, because we know from John's study that no light, no light, it says in him. There's no darkness that can penetrate that light. No other light but his is going to be faithful and true, and no darkness can overcome it. Oh, listen. He is standing and knocking today, and he's waiting to see. Mike, I want you to come and join me up here, and we're just going to worship the Lord for a minute. I know there's a drawing for a gift. I know there's another prize, but we got a gift and a prize for you today, and it's called an opportunity to refuel the fire in your waiting. And I want to speak a word of life to you today, and I want to tell you something. Don't feel bad at what you didn't get right. Just get on board and let your wings take flight. Are you with me today? There's a word in here for you. I don't care if you're a man. I don't care if you're a woman. Look, we know 114, 106. Guys, they didn't even have our comforts. They didn't have the things that we had. They hurt and had to walk to get to that place. I'm asking you, church, who's going to walk from where you are right here and stand and say, today I believe afresh and anew. Today I'm going to see it. I want to know who in this house feels like you've just been a failure as a husband or a wife. Would you just grab your spouse's hand and say, today I'm taking over that place. Today I'm asking God to come in and do what I can't, and release yourself from that burden. Today, I want to know who in this room needs healing in your body, and you're unashamed at the urging of the Spirit to get up now and move down here in belief or prayer. And June, I do want you to come over here. And if people need healing, come and move now, June. And if people need healing, I want you to come over here, and June's going to pray for you. June, do you have any doubt that God can heal?
And I was around a lot of people who had to come and do that every day. Some were just waiting to die. And I was doubting real bad. And I said, God, help me. So some reason God put a little hunger in my stomach for a hamburger, which I was doing radiation chemo, and I didn't have a hunger. So I went to the Dixie's, and Renee was in there, and I ordered my hamburger. She saw how sad I was. And I told her I just need a box to take it home. And there's about 15 or 16 people in line at Dixie's down here to pay for their food. She didn't care. She grabbed my hands and started praying for me, telling God to glorify my body, started praying in faith. And I went back in 2 weeks to get my checkup, and I started believing because of what she prayed for me. The faith and the healing that came upon me because God wanted me there.
Yes.
2 weeks when I went back, cancer I had no more.
Yeah. And that was while you were waiting for your miracle. Listen, that didn't stop there. June goes back, and now they're telling her there's this big growth in her lungs, and here's this picture. And she says, no, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. She's got the before and after x-rays to show you the thing's gone. And she believes it was so that the doctors would believe. I want to tell you something. It may look weird and it may look crazy, but there's people who need somebody weird and crazy to set them free, because I've been watching weird and crazy politicians try to do it for too long. Let's get in with the good word of God and get set free. If you need healing in your body, I want you to come right now. Don't wait for me to have you stand and everybody bow ahead. If you need something happening in your life, you need a revival of that thing. You need it to have some life and breath come back into it. If you're praying for your family, if you're believing for something and you haven't seen it, I want you to come right over here and I want you to get prayed for. If you're believing for something and you need that to be renewed and revived in your heart, I want you to come on this side and we're going to pray for you and we're going to believe today. There's a prize to be given away. Some of you may be the only reason you're waiting, but listen, the Holy Spirit wants to move in your life. I want the rest of you who are still sitting down to stand up with me. Stand up with me. We're going to pray and we're going to believe the Lord today. And I don't want you to wait on me to give you a word. I don't want you to wait on Steve to give you a word. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is going to speak something to your life that is going to change lives. Jalen, pick it back up. Pick it back up. Speak life to people. We need it. We need you. Whatever discouragement, we need it. We're going to just pray and believe right now for each one. And Mike, I'm just going to encourage you to lead everyone in worship while we pray and believe. Thank you, Jesus. You want me to start on that end? You start on one end, I'll start on the other.